Tonight I've got a little short devotional thing, challenge to us, from Matthew. Turn with me please to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verses 9 to 13 we're going to read, and it's the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 9 to 13 says this, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Notice this please. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. I want to bring a little short message out of something that's involved in here. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look in your word, Lord, and to hear the Lord. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us, telling us, Lord, that these are the things that we need to pray about when we pray. These things are important. They're not the words that we've got to pray specifically, but the things that are included in the Lord's Prayer are things that are important to you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, tonight as we just look at one little section of it, Lord, that you bless us, bless the people, and help us, Lord, to understand what it is that you want to teach us from it in Jesus' name. Amen. Most people, including myself, have recited the words of the Lord's Prayer, without really giving much thought to the implications of what it is that they are praying. Never really understanding clearly what it is that Jesus is saying when he teaches, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." We just pray the words. Tonight, however, I want us to look briefly at the second part of verse 10, where we have just read that we should pray to God in this manner. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Alright? Those particular words. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And let us try to comprehend how that request might affect us. Praying this prayer, or words to that effect, infers that we genuinely desire for God's will to be done on earth. That's what we're asking God. It infers that we genuinely desire the will of God to be done on earth, in the same manner that it is being done in heaven. This is a very serious matter and deserves our full attention and sober thought, I reckon. Do we really desire for God's will to be performed in our lives personally, in our church corporately, in our homes and in our community? Do we? Really? If so, if we do, then we need to carefully consider some of its consequences when we pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." From verse 10, we can establish that God's will is truly being done in heaven. It truly is being done. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." If Jesus tells us that God's will is being done in heaven, then I think we can safely say and take it for granted that that's what is happening. What do you reckon? God's will definitely would be being done in heaven, I reckon. There's no thing and nobody in heaven that is not fully conformed to the will of God. Everything that happens in heaven is according to God's will. There is no place in heaven for those who have no regard for God's will. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says, Lord, unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." The will of God is being perfectly performed in heaven, and Jesus has recommended that we pray for his will also to be done in the same manner here on the earth. Amen? Is that what we prayed? That's what we pray when we pray that sort of thing. Okay. There are many scriptures that refer to God's will and how it applies to our Christian walk. But it should be noted that the use of the word will, as used here in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done," has reference to God's law and to what is acceptable to him. In Psalm 40 and verse 8, don't worry about turning to the scriptures, I'll just read them out. But note them down if you want to, or you can even turn to them if you want. I'm not telling you not to look in your Bible, but I'm just going to continue speaking, all right? In Psalm 40 and verse 8, we read the words, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." The will of God and his law are inherently woven together and cannot be separated. To speak about one is to automatically speak about the other. To pray then that his will may be done on earth as in heaven is to pray that his law, his revealed will as written in the scriptures, may be obeyed and honoured. His law is perfectly obeyed in heaven. It's perfectly obeyed in heaven. And we, if we truly are his children, should zealously desire and pray that it may also be obeyed and honoured on the earth. This is not a prayer that has any merit towards our salvation, because, as we know, no one is saved by obeying the law. Rather, this is a prayer from the lips of those who are already his children, those who already can say, "Our Father who is in heaven." Unsaved people can't say that. They do, but they don't mean it. We say it from our heart. "Our Father who art in heaven." That's our God. Amen? So this is a prayer of saved people. We, the redeemed, are to pray in this manner because we love our Heavenly Father, and because we love his commandments, and because we desire to please him and bring him honour. Do we love his commandments? Well, you can only do that if you're saved, my friends. In John 15:10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love." In John 14:15, Jesus also reminds us with a very clear statement, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. Quite amazingly, some Christians actually confess that they do not know what the will of God is. And yet any good concordance will quickly show that the Bible has many references to God's will, as it applies to the individual, and as it applies to the church, and actually as it applies to society too. But perhaps there is good reason why these people are not really aware of God's will, or even bothered to know it. God has declared his will to his people, and it is found in his written word. His written, spoken word, spoken forth, and written down by his holy apostles, prophets, and other inspired writers. So it can't be God's fault if people are a bit vague about his will. It's available for us to find out. It's written in his word. Well, I think everyone who has been a Christian for any length of time will be familiar with Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Here we read Paul's inspired words, Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Paul says in verse 2 that it is possible for us to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says it. We can know it. It's possible for us to know it. When we pray according to the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," it is possible for us to know what it is that we are actually praying about. It's not just empty words that we are praying, hoping that somehow, in some strange way, God will perform his mysterious will behind the scenes. God has told us how it is that we might know his good and acceptable and perfect will. "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Amen? "For what I beseech you, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." To know God's will, we should first present ourselves to God as living sacrifices, which is only reasonable, he says, seeing as how he has saved us from a deserved eternity of punishment in hell. A living sacrifice is one whose body is alive, but he has crucified and put to death the love of self and the deeds of the flesh. Paul also tells us that if we really want to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, then we should not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Simple. Just got to do it. If we want our minds, listen, young people, and old people too, if we want our minds to be renewed, it won't come about from watching anything on the TV. And that includes the numerous religious programs that are supposed to be promoting God. They'll talk about where God channel. You won't learn anything about God that's good from those people. Neither will it come about from listening to the radio or reading magazines or the daily newspaper. Fake news, full of it. Those things have an agenda, and it is absolutely nothing to do with God's will being done in the earth. Quite the opposite, really. Quite the opposite. Wow, you see some of the stuff that's going on in the society today. And they're promoting it like left-wing ABC. ABC, you know, we're paying our tax supports the ABC, and they're so left-wing, they're against everything to do with God. And their programs are getting more homosexual. Pro-homosexual. It's just absolute horror. Colleen gets my comment. I like to comment when I see things on the TV. And she says, oh, I missed what they said. I wanted to hear what they said. Well, hang on, I'll wind it back so you can hear them, because I had to speak, you see. I get wound up. I don't get pulled down by this stuff, but I get wound up when I see stuff on the TV, what these people are promoting. It's just horrendous, ungodly stuff. And you know, the right wing, this Corey Bernardi and his, Conservative Party, Australian Conservative Party, they want to stop funding ABC. They want to defund it. Take all the money off them, because they're only promoting everything that's ungodly. Everything that's against God is being promoted by, well, most of the channels, but ABC, receiving our money to support them, that's what they're promoting. It's unreal. Terrible stuff. Anyhow, so really, the Lord Jesus knows perfectly well what the implications are for us if we really do take to heart his words, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. The only trouble is, I don't think many Christians really understand what it is they are praying when they follow the Lord's example and pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When people pray that, they don't think about what that's implying. They are just words that imply that it is God. Sometimes they think it's God who needs to do something. It's not us, it's God. And we who pray the prayer have no part to play. I've asked the question, do we really desire for God's will to be performed in our lives personally, in our church corporately, in our homes, and in our community? I sincerely hope we do. But we have a part to play. We are not passive in God's will being done in the earth. Somewhere I have to commit myself to really comprehend what is required of me, and then desire for that to happen, if I pray that prayer, which I should. Alright? I should desire for God's will to be done on the earth. If I make it my business to know God's law through the reading and study of his word, it automatically follows that I will gain an understanding of his will. Turn with me please, I'm going to get you to turn to this one. Turn with me please to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 4 to 7, and we'll close with at least one example of what the Bible says about our part in God's will being done in earth as it is in heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 2 to 7. This is what we need to do. 1 Thessalonians 4 to 7 says this: for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Verse 3. For this is the will of... People don't say, I don't know what the will of God is. Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honour, not in the lust of concupiscence. Concupiscence is the lust for things that go beyond things that are acceptable for God. Things that are lusting after something that is forbidden by God. Alright, that's what concupiscence is. So, verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. But no man go beyond his and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us to uncleanness, us Christians to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And you know what? Sanctification and holiness are the two of the same thing. Set apart. Sanctification means that we're allowing God to set us apart and wash us and cleanse us by the washing of the water of his word and be made suitable for him. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 also contains many other exhortations that which we are told in verse 18 is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. There's many other scriptures that talk about that, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 is one of them. And there are many other scriptures that we could turn to that plainly tell us what God's will is for us. But invariably, they are tied together with God's commandments, which call us to be holy. Going by the commandments. I thought we were supposed to be under grace, not under law. No, we're supposed to obey God's commandments. We're supposed to be a people set apart from the world and its pleasures in service to the Lord our God. That's what we're supposed to be. So, my challenge for us tonight is this. When we pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, are we actually praying that all these things will be done? Are we actually praying that? Are we? In our lives personally, in our church corporately. Do we really mean it? Okay? Do we really mean it? Well, we can mean it and we can do it with God's help. But we can't do it without God's help. Can't do it in the flesh. It's only God, our commitment to God, that we can do that and with His help. Amen? So, let's close in prayer, right?